I went on speed limit, and so I got there, so it was just about two breaths, and that was it. But before I left, she said, "I love you." Wesley said, I told her, "Do I love you?" That was the last words she told me.
Stai Gute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear more from Wes Cardinal of the Kikino Métis Settlement in central Alberta, as he shares how God faithfully brought him through some of life's deepest waters.
It was 4.5 years doctors tried to find out, but nothing. And I got out Tuesday, come home, and Friday I was taking my kids to a Bible camp at KBI there. And so all of a sudden the phone rang, and this girl from the clinic asked me to stop there. Doctor wanted to see me, and he said, "You don't have to have appointment." He said, "Just stop. He wants to see you." So I stopped and told my kids to wait. I went in, and so I was waiting in his office, and all of a sudden he come through the door. He was smiling. He said, "Wes, I think we found what's wrong with you." Then he said, "But you got to go to Edmonton and take some treatments." And from Sunday to Friday, and God answered the prayers. And from that time, I knew that he was really the only one that could heal me. And I've been in the hospital only once after that. And I just thanked the Lord that I accept him, and he answered the prayers. And from that time, I started my Christian walk again. And then my wife, I don't know how long after she accepted the Lord. And so we were trying to bring our kids to church, but they're getting in their teens. It's, my dad used to tell us, he said, when they're growing up, he said, they're easy to handle, but after their teens, he said, that's hard. But we kept bringing them to church camps, and but they didn't come all right away, but now they're all Christians. They were. And the hardest time I had was in March 23rd, 1996. Our youngest boy of the family, when he got up and when he closed the door, I didn't know that was going to be the last time I was going to hear him close the door till that evening about 10, when my other son come in the house there. And but he didn't say anything to us. He just walked in the bedroom and asked Sister Dolores to come in with him. And I guess he was telling her about what happened, and Dolores called me. And so they told me what happened, that four young fellas there got into an accident, all of them got killed. And there I had to tell my wife, and she just broke down and started screaming. It was hard for her, but I told her, "You'll have to stay home. We'll have to go to Lac-la-Bisse there." And the cops wanted to see us there, so my sister and brother-in-law took us, and just leaving the house there, I broke down. And my sister told me, said, "Cry, it's okay." Then we got to the hospital, the three other families there, just different places there, people was crying. And so we shook hands with them, trying to comfort them somehow. And we couldn't see the bodies because the car burnt, and I guess our son and the driver was kind of burnt, so they wouldn't let us see him. And so we got home, and my sister and them stayed for a while with us. And the next morning when I got up, it's when I seen hard times. I start inside there where he slept in his clothes, and outside his truck was there, and just like I was running into things and that he had. And he had some cattle that we used to help do chores, him and I, and so that was hard for a while. And but in the meantime, I was in our church. Before this happened, Bill used to ask me to take part in the services, but I was kind of shy at the time. And but it's, I guess, people like that when they become Christians, there some of them are shy. But anyway, at the wake, that school gym was full, and Bill asked me if I wanted to say a few words at the evening service, so I spoke. And the next day, too, in the funeral service, he gave me a chance to talk, and I guess that's the time I knew, too, God wanted me to work for him and lead for him in the services. And so I talked to, first time I talked to, where there was a lot of people, and I just thanked the Lord that he gave me the right words to say. And after the funeral service, there was lunch, and there was a lot of people, other people from here in our community, some were my relations, some from here that were thanking me, like what I said. He said it hit them. So I told them it's not me, it's what God gave me these words to say and to public. And but in the meantime, my wife had a hardest time, I guess, after that, through how many years, and grieving. And I was doing not bad, me, like I had to. I understand that when he said it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that judgment, I couldn't question God, because that we all going to see that, and we don't know who's going to go first, but God knows. So I accept that, and it was hard all for a while too, but I trusted God, that prayed and asked him to lead me, to lead us through in these rough times. And so helping others in the community or someplace else, I used my son yet in times to talk to them. And I knew my son was a changed person, and I'm sure that he accepted the Lord. And he said he told his cousins that he had accepted the Lord and he's ready to go. And so it was really good to hear that. And then my wife passed away on January 1st, and that was when I had her time too. Like, I didn't know at the time it was to go at that time. We were visiting her in 2005, and after Christmas, just about New Year's there, and the doctor came in at about 12:30, and that was New Year's already, and I was talking to her, and Josephine asked the doctor, he said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." "Just me too," he said, "I'm a Christian." So they were talking, her and her doctor, and then we were listening. And doctor asked her, "Josephine," he said, "if you were to go," he said, "you'd go to a better place." And he said, "Yeah." So he kept talking for a while, and then he kissed her on the cheek, and but same time he was checking her up. And so when he was going out, he nodded to one of my daughters, Mariel. So I knew he was going to tell her something. So she went out, and after a while I went out, and my son, Lauren there, and Sherry. So they were already telling them, and he said, "Wes," he said, "I don't know if he'll make it through the night." But we stayed there till 7:30 in the morning. I come back with my sister and my daughter. We're figured trying to come and rest and same time service here, but we got back about 8, tried to sleep. I couldn't. I got up and made breakfast for myself. All of a sudden, phone rang, and my daughter Dolores told me, he said, "Dad, you better come." He said, "She's breathing different," he said. Yeah. So I got ready and picked up. We were supposed to pick up 2 granddaughters, but one just come and the other one couldn't make it. That's the one that our son's late son's daughter, and she didn't want to see her grandmother suffer, like, well, to see her pass away or something, and so we left. I didn't really go more, like, so I went on speed limit, and so I got there, she was just about two breaths, and that was it. But before I left, she said, "I love you," and Wesley said, I told her, "too, I love you." That was the last words she told me, and so I knew it was going to be hard, and my children and them were there, and so my son broke down first, and others started, you know, and in meantime, I guess, when my dad passed away, there was, my brother asked me to pray for the family, but it was hard there again, like, there was a lot of crying, and but I thanked the Lord that he had given us a dad for this many years, and so I prayed that time, and I also prayed for when my mom passed away, for our family, all of them were there, and same thing, and then when my wife and brother too, like, passing away, I prayed, and I was able to pray and thank God that he given me a wife for 42, just about 43 years, and it wasn't easy, the marriage, but especially when you're not a Christian, but when you're a believer, at least, when there's something happened, you can pray and ask the Lord to help through, and it did, and but the last 2 years was the hardest, like, for my wife, going down, like, her health, and but she, to hear her talking about God and with her doctor, it was real good, and I just, but it's still hard to miss your partner, and but I want my kids to, they're all Christians, and really helps me to be with them and grandkids, and it's rough in times, but we go back to the Lord and ask him for his help, and he'll lead us through in the rough times, good times, and he's there for us.
Have you ever wondered where death came from? The Bible tells us that it's a result of sin. Sin is anything that offends our Creator. We read in Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and through sin came death, so also death spread to all humanity, because every person has sinned." That's why suffering and death touch us all. But did you know that it also touched God? Through Jesus Christ, He chose to take our sins on Himself, to suffer and die, so that we could be with Him forever. That's why West's family could face death with confidence, because they were right with God. And you can be right with God too, if you'll turn to Him and place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you would like to know more, let me encourage you to visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also online at facebook.com/withoutreservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.